meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. I enjoy reading biographies. One characteristic of historical figures that captures the imagination of a biographer is someone who says clearly what they think. One such character who was famously plain-spoken was the 33rd President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. Biographer Merle Miller wrote a biography of Harry Truman, which he entitled Plain Speaking. In describing Truman's plain speaking nature, Miller said this: Harry's words were never fancy, but they were never obscure either. You never had to figure out what Harry was up to. He told you what he was up to. And as they said of him back in Independence, he was a man of his word. There was not a duplicitous bone in his body. He was without guile. In this day and time when it seems that double talk and duplicity is not only acceptable but expected, it is nice to read of someone who is plain speaking. So with a wink and a nod to the pun, we are reading today of our plain speaking Savior, who doesn't make it easy, but says exactly what he means. Today's passage centers around what has been called the Golden Rule. Many of us memorized the Golden Rule in Sunday school. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Did you know that a version of the Golden Rule appears in many cultures, philosophies, and religious traditions? William Barclay gives examples. Hillel, one of the great Jewish rabbis, is quoted as having said, "What is hateful to thee, do not do to another." Philo, a Jewish philosopher, is quoted as saying this: "What you hate to suffer, do not do to anyone else." Stoic philosophers had a rule: "What you do not wish to be done to yourself, do not do to another." Isocrates, the Greek orator, is quoted as having said this: "What things make you angry, when you suffer them at the hands of others, do not you do to other people." Confucius said that a word to serve as a rule of practice for life is reciprocity. Quote, "What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others." While there are versions of the Golden Rule in many cultures, do you notice something different about what Jesus says? Every one of the forms from other cultures is a negative. Jesus, as he so often does, sets a higher standard. He sets a positive requirement. It is not enough to not do things you would not want done to you. Excuse the triple negative. We should do what we want done to us. It reminds me of the concept of paying it forward. As Christians, we should not take revenge or pay people back for wrongs done to us, but we should pay it forward by doing to others what we would want done to us. What Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Plain is defining what Christian love, agape, looks like in stark, unmistakable words. Jesus not only says, "Love your neighbor," he also says, "Love your enemy." This kind of love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's an active desire for the benevolence of another. It is a desire for the highest good for even our enemy. It's not something we feel. It's something we will, something we do. And in his plain spoken manner, Jesus spells it out. If someone curses you, pray for them. That is something we can do. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other cheek. That's something you can do, hard as it may be. Now note that this is not Jesus encouraging or condoning abusive relationships. Jesus is speaking of enemies, which in the context of the time would refer most specifically to the Romans. Jesus is speaking of giving up an attitude of entitlement and retribution for an attitude focused on good. Remember, love does not seek its own. It seeks the good of the other. Jesus again goes beyond. Not only is the Christian ethic positive, it goes beyond and does something extra. The Christian Information and Service Center, known as CISC, distributes food Monday to Friday, 9 to 11:30. Recently, a table has been set up that has socks, stocking caps, blankets, coats, and other warm items that volunteers can distribute to those who've come for food. It is something extra. The people who've come are seeking food. Volunteers have noticed that they're often not dressed warmly enough and have other needs. The table of warm items is an attempt to address those needs. Jesus is telling us, among other things, that love does not do the minimum required. It looks to meet the need based on what we would want if we were in the same situation. William Barclay tells us that the idea is not to compare ourselves with our neighbors, but to be like God. God does not give us what we deserve, but what we need. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is kind to those who are kind and to those who are unkind. This is hard. All too often, we are concerned that we will be taken advantage of. In balancing who we give aid to, we look for proof of need. We say we're trying to be good stewards of the limited resources that we have to give. Our resources are not unlimited. But we need to be ever vigilant of our motives. If we are only good to those who are good to us, what is our true motive? Jesus questions us. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. On a larger scale, what does this say about who we help internationally? Should we, as the richest nation on earth, only help those who help us? Obviously, starving people are not in a position to reciprocate. Should we feed the hungry even when they have nothing they can give back? What would Jesus say? In this passage, he says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." If you were hungry, would you want food? Jesus repudiates a self-interest standard. In verse 35, he says, "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return." Again, Jesus goes even further. Even if we don't get anything in return, At least they can thank us, right? Jesus says, quote, "Children of the Most High, be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked," end quote. Finally, Jesus reminds us that we're not to be in the judging business. God is. "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you," says Jesus. This is not setting up a standard whereby we earn forgiveness by forgiving. It's saying that as persons who are already forgiven, we should be forgiving. And to borrow from the Sermon on the Mount, we should be focused on getting the log out of our own eyes before we try to get the speck out of someone else's. Ultimately, God will be making the determination who is worthy and who is not. We are relieved of that responsibility. John Calvin in the Institutes of the Christian Religion tells us this: we should treat everyone as if they are saved. That's a great way to avoid being judgmental. If we recognize that God will make the determination, not us, we're not in the judging business. In summary, Jesus gives us a plain-spoken, positive formula for success in living the Christian life. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. May it be so. Amen. Having heard the